All right. At this time, the children, I believe, are dismissed, right? Or are they already dismissed? Is there... They what? They get up quick. All right. They just left, huh? Yeah. Boom. Okay. They're back there. Okay. I wasn't sure. That was awfully quiet. Usually a stampede, right? Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if you know, but I believe that Israel is moving forward on this peace program that I think was set up by Trump, and I don't think it's the best thing ever. Actually, it divides the land, and I think President Biden is pushing it, and I think Israel's moving forward on. I think we heard, didn't we, that they're going to do that. And what's terrible about it is one thing, is dividing the land. I mean, when that thing came together, I think there are certain senators that were Christian and said, hey, don't do this. You don't want to do this. And it was too late. It was already out, I guess, or something. It was moving along. And so there was the Solomon Peace Agreement, whatever. I don't know if that's part of it or whatever. But it's not a good thing. And the thing is that when you do that, you go against God's word, especially God's people, you get what you call a curse. And so we need to pray a hedge of protection upon America and upon Israel. I mean, just dividing their land. That's God gave them that land. And so dividing or giving anything away is not a good thing. So that kind of stuff is moving along. You know, that's just the day and age we're living in. And you hear what's going on in Ukraine with Russia. And you probably heard that Vladimir Putin, he's putting a lot more people into the effort. I think they've got, what do they call it, when they tell people you got to be in the military or draft them in. So he's moving forward on that. He's, you know, he hasn't played his big cards. He just kind of put some military in there, I think. I think he's stepping it up quite a bit. That's what he's saying anyway. So, you know, it's just all kinds of stuff happening. And there's that threat of war. You're talking about the threat of nuclear. He's talked nuclear. So more so, he throws it around quite a bit now. So we kind of have to pray about that situation. And you know, God's in control. God knows what's going on. Quite some years ago, there was a bomber that was flying over one of the Carolinas. I don't know if it was North Carolina, South Carolina, and it actually had a nuclear or atomic bomb on it. And that thing, I think it either dropped the bomb and that bomb fell. And they say the only thing that kept that bomb from not going off was a 5-cent piece of thing that just held the trigger from igniting, whatever. And they say, you know, it was just a 5-cent thing that was held that thing together. But if it wasn't blue, we would have had a nuclear bomb go off. But I'm just saying, you know, God's in control. You know, the angel was working overtime. Okay, we can't let this thing go off. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? God's in control. He knows everything that's going on, down to the minute, and we just need to pray. And just we need to trust the Lord and God. You know, there's things happening, so we just need to trust. We're not to be troubled. Listen, let's turn your Bibles to Matthew 24. This isn't where I'm going, but I just like you to share, show you these verses. Matthew 24, verse 6. Matthew 24. In verse 6, it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence. You know what pestilence is? It's basically COVID, things like that. Monkeypox, I don't know. And earthquakes in diverse places. In Mexico, we just had an earthquake. We're having increased earthquakes all the time. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So we need to understand that they're just the beginning of sorrows. We think about the things that are happening on an increase, and we need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. All right? I think in any time, all the things that have been fulfilled and all that, we just need to realize the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And that doesn't mean we go, well, we need to slow down here and reaching people to God. We need to increase our ability, or God needs to help us to move forward and do what he wants us to do concerning reaching people with the glorious gospel. And so that doesn't mean we become dormant. We find a rock and crawl underneath it. We just need to ask God help us to redeem the time, right? Because the days are evil. It is evil. And you look around, you don't have to look too far. We live in evil times. So anyways, this is not where we're turning to. That's an add-on this tonight. I just, with all the things going on, I'm learning these things. Some of you have already learned them. And the direction of things are going is not good. But we just need to pray and know that God's in control. But we're moving to 1 John chapter 3 tonight. 1 John chapter 3. And we as Christians, we need to be confident. And the Word of God gives us confidence. We stand on the Word of God, and He gives us confidence. And I thank the Lord that the book that I preach from tonight is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. The more of my life is grounded in the principles of Scripture, the more I am able to live a confident Christian life, confident in the things God has said and the promises. Pastor Nolan sent me a text, and he said, here's a list of a whole bunch of promises. You know, there's all kinds of promises in God's Word. One promise after the other. What a blessing is. I've only made it through like a little smidgen, but there's a lot of promises to go through. And it's such a blessing once we realize all the promises God's Word has. But we find here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And I'm going to go ahead and turn on my mic here. There we go. So people on YouTube go, hey, I can hear him now. So verse 2 of our text, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man, by the way, that's probably high definition there, okay? Like, we don't know, but I mean, high definition, the visual we have. I know my vision's going, but the vision we have there, I believe, is going to be extraordinary. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. They have a desire to be, they want to be like the Savior. Amen? We should desire to be like Jesus, all right? And to walk after him and follow him and love him. And we're just going to look at some things tonight and just let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it's inerrant. It is the Word of God. Lord, we thank you, God, how powerful it is. Like a two-edged sword, it can do what it needs to do. And Lord, we thank you, God, how it works in our lives. I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to pay attention and that you would just take away the distractions that would rob us of the blessing from you. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and bless this time, we pray. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that in 1 John 1 and 2 teaches us that we can live a confident Christian life as we fellowship with and obey the Father. Chapter 3 gives us further understanding of the basis of our confidence as Christians. The love of the Father. In fact, in these three verses, the Bible tells us who we are, who we are going, or where we are going, and how to get ready. We are getting ready, amen? You know, it's important. Number one, we see the position of the Christian, the sons of God. And we see here, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a new body. And what a blessed thing that's going to be when we have a new body and we don't have that sin nature that's living alongside the godly nature that we have, the Holy Spirit. And we have just a pure new body that isn't stained, isn't have that sin nature. And so it takes away a lot of that desire and a lot of the going the wrong direction. And we're going to have, talk about abundant life then. Now, we're supposed to live the abundant life now, but we're going to have a super duper abundant life there.
When we think about those that have, we think about that position of being the child of God, adopted into a family, what a great thing that is. But we see that not every man is called as son of God. In John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil. We knew that people saw Jesus come along and live his life, and he got into the ministry, and not everybody was kind of going along with the fact that what Jesus was teaching is the fact that he was teaching that he was the very Son of God. Amen. That rubbed people the wrong way. They're about to stone him to death, and they didn't like that. And they didn't like the fact that he was going to heal somebody on the Sabbath. And how dare you heal that blind person on the Sabbath, or this or that. And they were upset. We see today that not everybody that not everybody that's just religious is going to heaven. Amen. Amen. In fact, a lot of people aren't. My Bible talks about how narrow is the way. Yeah, there isn't a lot of people on that pathway, unfortunately. If we as Christians, Christians of the churches that we represent, we need to be desiring to widen that way a little bit, giving God a desire to widen that road. Praise the Lord for some roads that get widened. I love the fact that in California, you come here and they're widening the roads way before it's needed. And you're going, wow, this is pretty wide. And then down the road, you see why, because they're expecting growth and those roads start filling up. I remember looking at Desert Hot Springs and there was a two-lane road going out there. Desert Hot Springs. I'd be sitting on the patio up there or looking out, and you'd see those two lane roads, and it was kind of sparse traffic. And after a while, a few years, it was really heavy traffic. And then they put a four lane road, and then things got a little lighter, and then they got a little heavier because they anticipated. They build ahead of time. Now, in Seattle, they don't do that. They don't build ahead of time. They build after the fact, 20 years after the fact. It's like, that's why they have the traffic. You got to know where you're going. Don't get off on the wrong exit. But we see how today, we see that God, we need to understand that there's God's love. Now, by the way, there's some people who think that all God is love. That's the only characteristic God has. God can't get mad. God can't do all these other things, but he does. We understand that's just one characteristic. And we thank the Lord that he loves us, and he has that love. And that love is incredible. But we need to understand that time is running out. And time is running out. Life is but a vapor. And we have a great need. And I believe God wants us to do some things here in living for him. Galatians 3:26 says, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you realize that you're not getting to heaven by your own works. It's going to have to be 100% what Jesus did. Okay, you become the sons of God by accepting Christ as your Savior and what he did on the cross. Jesus did everything that is needed for us to be saved on the cross. He did everything in dying for our sins. Our sins were laid upon him, and he died for us. In accepting Christ as our Savior, we put our faith in Christ, and he becomes our Savior. And Jesus did, not only did he die on the cross, but he was, as he died on the cross, he died, and he was laid in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again. And there we got the gospel. That is the gospel right there, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the only one that could do that for us. And so what a great thing that is. And so what manner, a special quality, we see an out of this world kind of love to do that. Now, I know you're very familiar with John 3:16, and it doesn't bore me ever at all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved this world. God so loved you. You could put your name right there, and you could put anybody's name right there, and God loves us. God loves our entire world. He doesn't just love some people. He loves everybody. And I'm amazed. I remember when my daughter was born, our oldest daughter, Mackenzie, she was born. I thought, wow, I don't know that I could love anybody else like that. There's a special love you have for your children. And you think, you're going to have your second child. How could I love another child? And then you begin to understand how it works. It's amazing how that works. It comes over you when you have that first child, then you have that second child. And then you realize what it is to love that second child like you love your first child. And it's the strangest thing, but you can love that second child like you love your first child. And it's a love that God gives us. And we understand that God loves us all. He desires to have a relationship with us. He desires for us to be saved and to know him and to walk with him. And so he loves us. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were in the worst spot possible, and yet Christ loved us, and he died for us. Years ago, there was a young girl who had been badly disfigured by a fire. She was taken by train to a town where she was to attend a special school. Waiting at the terminal, she watched as the superintendent of the church greeted the other girls with a hug and a kiss on the cheek. After a long time, she approached the superintendent and said, please, mister, I know I'm not pretty like the other girls, but would you mind hugging me? You don't have to kiss me. Superintendent hugged and kissed her also. And certainly we're thinking about a time where you could do those kind of things. Today you can't do those, but we understand that God has a love for us, and people, listen, we as people of God need to also emanate the right kind of love for others. We need to be concerned. Our Savior Jesus was concerned for people to be saved, and so we need to be concerned. It should be something that we do, is we should pray for people that need to be saved. We know people that, if we know people that need to be saved, we should be saved. We should be praying. We should have someone on our list that we're praying for that they'll get saved. Somebody by name, we're praying for them. You have a relative or something like that doesn't know, somebody that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, we need to be praying. And if you're praying, there's a good possibility that you'll be talking to them about the gospel. Or perhaps they live somewhere else. You'll get them on the phone, or else you'll send a letter to them and encourage them. And what a blessing that is when people you're praying for or have prayed for will get saved. I remember Daryl was talking about somebody that contacted him from the past. Many, many years ago, and then all of a sudden he got in contact with him, and he says, hey Daryl, I have cancer. And anyways, make the story short, but he ended up getting saved. Amen. Trusting Christ as a Savior made all the difference in his life. Turned everything where it was negative, it was kind of negative, to a positive field. Even though he still had cancer, it was positive because now he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is to share the gospel. We see that the gospel is a wonderful thing. But we are the children. We are his children now. We think about blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, that song we sing. We think about the fact that we have blessed assurance with Jesus. Amen. This world needs something, doesn't it? It doesn't need all the fix-me-ups. It doesn't need a makeover. It needs the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a little show, it's called The Makeover. You know, for years they had that thing on there. They do a makeover, and they do a makeover a house, makeover a car, the different things. And people are like astounded, oh, I can't believe this. But, you know, and perhaps today people win the lotto, and they win all this money. You know, they say that people that win money, they've done studies, and they found out a lot of those people are more miserable today than when the time they won that money. And so many of them say that, I wish I would have never won that money. The millions of dollars, and so we understand that this world will offer you all kinds of stuff. But you know what? Ultimately, if you know Jesus, you have everything. You have everything. I think of the fact that we are His children. What a great thing that is. We also see that we are not recognized by the world. No, He came unto His own, and His own knew Him not. Here, these people are all religious. They're all looking for the Messiah. They're all looking for it. They all have the Word of God, and they study it. I'm telling you, these people, they study the Bible they had backwards and forwards. They knew the Pentateuch and all that, and they were very religious, but they didn't really have a very good relationship with their God for some reason. And they were distant, they were far, and they were fooling themselves. There's always adding things to it, and pretty soon they got so distant from God. The people of God, and when they saw Jesus, they didn't even recognize who Jesus was. You know, this world doesn't recognize us either. As we know Christ as our Savior, as we live for Him, it's very peculiar. Oh, this is peculiar, and this is they don't understand it. They don't understand real faith. They can sing about faith, can't they? I think there's a guy named George Michael or something like that. He said, gotta have faith, but that's not the kind of faith we need to have. We need to have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about how important that is to know Him and have that faith and have that in our lives. The world didn't recognize Him. They're not going to recognize us. And so we think about how this world system rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. It's at odds. with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's at odds with our faith, with the things that we, as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be at odds. It's not going to go along with what we say, and we can't go along with what they say and what they do. Our lives, you can. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. We got to live separated lives, and we think about how the importance to understand that He loves us. He loves us, and He wants us to know He loves us. He desires for us to walk with Him every day. It does something for our lives to know that somebody loves us in that way. Nobody loves us like the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. And that's just the way it's going to be. And we understand that He loves us. He demonstrated that on the cross. We think about how the fact that our promise here in verse 2 of our text, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what He shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Reminds me of that song, "Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face. Look upon the," you know, and what a blessed day that will be when we see our Savior's face to face. What a wonderful thing that'll be, and a great thing that is. He shall appear. We think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to appear. He's going to be there, and He's going to come back for us. And we understand that we're not just sitting idly by and not doing anything. We're preparing ourselves. We understand it's going to happen. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and call His children home. Amen. And the Bible says in Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." Instantaneous, Colossians 3:4. What a great time that'll be when we understand all of a sudden we're going to be in the presence of the Lord in the twinkling of an eye. And the trumpet will go off and we'll be with the Lord. But we see that we shall see Him as He is. What a great thing that'll be. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." We think about the great thing we have, and it's going to happen. And it's only going to happen one time. Amen. This event only happens one time. We see that this happens. I mean, it's not like going to be in every 100 year. You know, they have a every 100 year flood or something like that, or whatever. And different things that happen in this earth, but it's only going to happen one time. It's a great event. It's an incredible event. The Lord, you know, and when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it happens one time. And we find the things that follow. We think the fact that tribulation follows 7 years of tribulation, trouble, all the things are kind of like leading to that right now. But then when we are taken out, everything just really goes south. What a great God we have. He's going to shield us from that. But we understand that we have relatives, we have neighbors, we have people we know. That's where they're going. They're going to that tribulation. You know, they're going to a very tragic, terrible time. Oh, if people would just receive Christ as their Savior, it would spare them from that. I believe if we're given the opportunity to be saved, I think that same opportunity should be for others. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else should have that opportunity. And really, the gospel is could be as basically said as this, is one beggar telling another beggar where he got the bread. Look where I got the bread. Here's the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we understand that it's as simple as that. We don't have to complicate it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I complicate things. I got to get all these things in a row and stuff like that. And we just need to get about His business, amen? We need to get about His business and sharing the gospel, encouraging people to come to church and hearing the gospel and get busy about doing the work of the Lord. And we also see that we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. Wow, what an opportunity that will be. What a great thing that will be. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." We see that in Philippians 3:20 it says, "Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you." So we see that we will have a new body, no pain, no blindness, etc. No trying to lose weight. Amen? How many diets are we not going to have? I like the seafood diet. Everything you see, you get to eat, right? Amen. That, you know, I like the old confidence of the fact that, you know, what you have in one hand, one donut there, they kind of cancel each other out. That kind of diet, you know. Positive thinking, all the different things they got out there, they have all kinds of different diets. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar business. We don't have to worry about that anymore, diets. We got some incredible fruit food, a spread that's going to be incredible, the Lord's Supper, the supper that'll happen in heaven. What an incredible thing that'll be. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. It's just going to be incredible. We got a tree of life that has 12 managers of fruit in heaven, and it produces a different fruit every month, I believe. And it's going to be incredible fruit. It's going to be like anything we've ever tasted before, I believe. I believe there's going to be just some incredible things. I believe we're going to hear some things we've never heard before. I believe we're going to see some things we've never seen before. Paul says, you know, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard the things of God. And those are the things we get to look forward to. But we need to look forward with them with others. There needs to be others that come with us. Amen. And we need to be concerned about others. And so we see the incredible things that will happen. The hope of Jesus coming back. He's going to come back. He's coming back for us. And there'll be no blindness. There'll be no pain. There'll be no cancer. There'll be no hospital in heaven. Think about that. No hospital. No cemeteries. No death. Jesus has done something about that. And graciously, mercifully. And you know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have any of that stuff. And we're going to be blessed forevermore. And the great thing about it is, beyond all that other stuff, that all the perks and all the inheritance, we get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the top of the list right there, to be able to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, the one that loved us and died for us. And what a great God we have. We understand that we'll be like him. Psalm 17, 15 says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." We think about how we live in a very unsatisfied world. Even Christians, they're not very satisfied. We're not satisfied. This is too hot. This is too cold. This is too dry. This is too wet. We go to the restaurant and we want them to, when we don't get it like we want it, whatever, we're going to tell them. We're going to give them our 2 cents. All right. And then, but we understand that we're so unsatisfied. But you know, in reality, the one that can satisfy is Jesus Christ. All right, Jesus Christ satisfies. And I believe that a lot of that is we need to look to him, amen? He brings about complete satisfaction. Satisfaction in knowing that we're going to heaven. Satisfaction in knowing we're saved. Satisfaction in knowing we have family members that are saved too. We have neighbors that are saved too. And we have a great opportunity. No more need for a lot of different things. No more need for a mighty military. No more need for a 401k. Yeah, think about that. Everybody's scared. Oh, now that we've got a 401k, we've worked for years, we got all this money in retirement, things like that. What if things go south? And believe me, looking around, things could go south. Who knows? But we're trusting the Lord. Even here, we're trusting the Lord. But there, we understand that it's God's economy. You step into God's economy. God's economy is like no other economy. God has great things waiting for those that will trust him. And what a great God we have. Luke 21, verse 27 says, "And then shall they see the sons of man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Amen. Your redemption draweth nigh. We see that we understand that for our lives, we need to purify our lives. Note, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses and sanctifies us. You know, sanctification is setting us apart for a purpose. Each and every one of us have a purpose. We have a purpose. And God, he wants us to set our lives apart for him, for that purpose. Set apart. You know, we're not supposed to be so close to the world that we're a part of the world. We're supposed to be used by him and directed by him. And we understand that's important for us to be cleansing ourselves. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from some unrighteousness. Oh, wait, you got a different Bible? Wait, no. All unrighteousness, right? The Bible says all unrighteousness. You know, that's powerful. The words of God are powerful, and we look at those, and we take them for granted sometimes, don't we? We just take them for granted, but they're powerful.
Amen.
We look a little closer at God's word, and we see that God has the ability to forgive us of all of our sins. But they're not going to be forgiven unless you ask for forgiveness for them. We understand that we need to be cleansing our lives and asking forgiveness for sins and walking and living for Him. And what a great opportunity we have when we're sanctified, set apart, and we're doing what God wants us to do. Because God has a will for our lives. If we're not walking in that will, we need to start walking in it, telling others about Christ, being faithful and understanding. What's the Lord Jesus Christ? He comes back. What is He going to find in our lives? What's He going to find out in our lives? I mean, for many of us, only we know what's really going on in our lives. And how important it is for us to understand that we get things where they need to be. We clean house. We get things where they need to be. We get our walk with Him. We're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting things where they need to be. We're thinking about those that are not saved, and we're getting them on our prayer list, and we're starting to pray for them. And then we're making plans to reach them with the glorious gospel because we see the day approaching, you see. And rather than, we know that we're supposed, there's that word, there was that song called about work for the night is coming. When work is all done, there's no ability to work. Now is the time to, we may be a little tired with work. You may get home, I don't feel like doing much, and I don't feel like this and that, and I'm going to feel a little tired, I'm going to lay down, I'm going to take a nap, and then all of a sudden you've taken a longer nap than you needed to take, and all these things can happen, but we understand that we need to be busy for the Lord. Today is the day we work. And if to encourage her, you know, we need to ask God for some strength sometimes too, and God help me with some grace and strength, and we need to get busy for the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. So we're the blood of Jesus cleanses and sanctifies us. We think about there is also the matter of daily sanctification, maintaining purity in the face of temptation. There's temptations out there everywhere you look. There's temptations. And so we understand that we think about with those temptations, we have a way out. We need to look for the exit that God has provided for us. And we also see that today there's a world out there, and it's going the wrong direction in a fast way. We see here, the Bible tells us also, we see James 1, verse 22. Let's turn there if you would. James 1, 22. James 1, 22. And we're almost done. It's not a very long one today, but that's okay. James 1, 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In verse 25, but whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we understand that before we look into the mirror, we can make changes. Preparing for the day, we must apply for God's word. We understand that we need to make those changes. We need to be looking and not forgetting who we are. I think the more I think about this, the more I thank the Lord that our pastor, I know he gives out notes and things like that we take home. I know that many of you take down notes, maybe verses, and you'll look at them later. And that's a great thing when you take those home and you can personalize those. You can utilize those things, and you take them with you throughout the week and allow them to be a strength in your life. We understand that we need to get ourselves connected to the Word of God. We need to get ourselves connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that can really ultimately do the changing in our lives that is needed. All right? We can make all kinds of different changes in our lives. We can say, this is important, that's important. And really, the Holy Spirit might say, you know what? No, forget those. This is important. And He'll tell us what's important. I'm telling you that we need Christians today that are Spirit-led. We need Christians today that when they open their Bibles, they're going, Lord Jesus, I pray that You would, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would lead me, guide me, direct me. I pray that You'd have free reign in my life. We need to die to self and live in the Spirit and allow the Spirit of God to move us. today, if any time in history, we find today that we're moved by this little phone here. We're going here, we're going there, we're looking, you know, and it's got most of our attention. To me, I'm starting to think more and more of the fact that we have, sometimes we can get our idols in our lives. It didn't start out like an idol, but we spend so much time with something, and it becomes an idol. And we need to be careful that we don't allow something to be an idol. We start thinking about those things that would come between you and God and your relationship. You may even ask, God, is this an idol? Lord, if this is an idol, help me, Lord, to get rid of this or deal with this. Because it can't be an idol in my life. Think about the fact that some of us, we never think about the fact of covetousness. Covetousness can, you could just admire some other car or something like that or this or that. And you could go, wow, that would, what would it be like to have that? Are you coveting? Think about that. We got to be careful with that thing. And the devil will go, he'll usher that stuff right into your life and make you think, well, wouldn't that be nice to keep up with the Joneses? Wouldn't that be nice to have this or that? And all of a sudden we've coveted over something. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. Or thinking about complaining. Oh, complainers. We got to be careful. You look at the children of Israel, they complain, murmur, complain. Oh, God got angry with them. I'll tell you what, God does not like murmuring and complaining, all right? So I'm thinking about all these different things. God wants us to go in a different direction in this world. This world is full of complainers. This world is full of people that are trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know what I'm saying? We need to be different. We need to be peculiar people. We need to be people that are led by the Holy Spirit. And in a way, let me tell you, you're not going to be led by the Holy Spirit if you're distancing yourself from God through these different sins that are in your life. And they're just lights. They're just sins that are just like walking with everybody else around you. They're admiring this, they're admiring that, and really it's something that becomes a snare. It becomes an idol, something that gets between you and him. And we got to be careful. We got to start questioning, taking note of what's going on in our lives, that it doesn't become that idol. You know who's supposed to be number one in our lives? The Lord Jesus Christ. Number one. Number one. So, anyways, that's all I had to say to you guys tonight. Let's keep Jesus Christ as number one and focus on him and his and the Holy Spirit. Let him lead us. We need Holy Spirit-led people to do his will and to live a life. Let me encourage you. If we can finish out our life, think about that. Finish out our life when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, burning bright, I'm telling you what, well done, thou faithful servant. Those are going to be incredible words for us to hear with our new ears. Incredible words. Let's pray.